Welcome to a Rebel Room post-game podcast edition. Ray Brewer, Ryan Green, Case Kiefer, the Trio of Terror. Big game. We bring everybody on staff to talk about it. UNLV can't get it done against BYU and Jimmer Fredette, who goes for 39 points. Your final score, 89-77. Ryan, Case and I predicted this. We said BYU was going to win. Me on our podcast. You liked UNLV. What wrong for the Rebels, my friend?
Well, a lot. And I predicted UNLV based off of history. I mean, I came into this game thinking UNLV was a better team on neutral floor. And BYU hadn't won here since the Reagan administration. So, I mean, you kind of got to think at that point that UNLV is going to have the advantage and win a close one. Really thought this game would be closer than it was, but I mean, when you've got two guys going off like Fredette and Emery did tonight, what were they, 13 of 22 combined from three-point range? I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. And, you know, UNLV saw tonight firsthand that Jimmer Fredette simply just added dimensions to his game and to his offensive game since last year that maybe they just weren't prepared for.
The guy's a pro. He could score like no other player I've seen in the league in the league's 10-year history, and I've seen them all come through.
Well, and you know, his shot, we've always known he can shoot. He's always been able to shoot. But, I mean, with hands in his face, he jumps so high and then has that high, quick release. His shot is unblockable by anybody in this league. And then, you know, I mean, the way he gets it off, there was that one possession at the end of the first half that I remember where he had Derek Jasper on him, and he dribbled across the perimeter about three times, and Jasper was just shadowing him, waiting for Jasper to go to sleep, so to speak, on him. And as soon as he did, he rose up and hit a three right in his face. And it was just demoralizing for UNLV, for Jasper. Fredette's a killer, and he was motivated coming into this game.
Yeah, UNLV up by 10 in the first half. You kind of thought that they had a chance to put it away. BYU gets hot. They lead by three at halftime. Case, at halftime, did you think that since BYU erased that deficit, they were going to win regardless? Or what did you kind of think was going on? Did you think UNLV could get back into it?
It was only 3 points. It was 38-35. And of course, I think Green mentioned this, but it hurt the way it ended with, I think, that fadeaway contested three that Fredette made to make it 38-35. But I still definitely thought UNLV was right in it. The one thing I look at that I'm sure you both are going to talk about, too, is the first half, the big men for UNLV I was so impressed with. I hadn't watch this team in a couple weeks like you guys had, but Masamba had a great first half, and even Lopez, when he came in and relieved, Masamba gave him some good minutes. So I thought maybe if they can continue that, pound the ball inside, that they could come back in the second half, but that obviously didn't happen. And, I mean, what can you do when you have two guys on so much like BYU was? But UNLV did make a lot of errors on its own.
What I thought was kind of funny is we've talked for weeks about how UNLV needs to get more from its inside guys. So they start feeding the ball inside finally today, and the first time they threw the ball into Bryce, he got double-teamed immediately. I'm thinking to myself, why is BYU double-teaming Bryce? I mean, what did they see on video? But, hey, Bryce had 8-3 in the first half, was very productive, very energetic, and bottom line, push comes to shove, Ryan, when BYU or anybody makes that amount of shots, especially all those threes, you're not going to win. I don't care who you're playing.
And the thing with the big men, too, is that, you know, UNLV probably would have loved to keep going to its big men in the second half, but the pace of the game just didn't really, you know, allow that. UNLV had to take outside shots and threes to try to speed the game up and get back into it and take a shot. And it's really unfortunate because the big men did have a great first half. And, I don't know. It feels, I mean, BYU was phenomenal. But, I mean, how many times this season are they going to get a combined, 76 points from Davies, Jackson, Jackson Emery, and Jimmer Fredette? UNLV caught him on a very hot night, and that's not an excuse because UNLV didn't play well enough to win. They didn't. They shot terrible. In the second half, you know, they shot 40%, but I mean, it felt a lot worse than that, and a lot of that was probably aided along by the late second half spurt,
especially the late second half spurt by Anthony Marshall. Take away his stats in the second half, and what do they really have?
Take away his stats, period.
Yeah. I mean, he finished with 26, 9 for 12. I'm beginning to feel like when I was a kid, I was a huge Braves fan. Like, the first 12 Braves games I went to, they won. Now, 20 years later, I'm a huge Anthony Marshall fan. And I don't go to every game, but every game I go to, Anthony Marshall just has a huge game, even though tonight,
Sarge
in a losing effort. Yeah, there you go.
The pride of Mojave. I'll take you guys back to Monday. Practice, Trevon Willis kind of calls out Jimmer Fredette a little bit. Uh-huh. And Jimmer doesn't respond, and of course, until tonight on the court. In case you were in the BYU locker room afterwards, Jimmer finally spoke, I guess, about Trevon. Not that his play on the court and some of those gestures he made after he hit those shots wasn't enough. But I'm looking forward to Jimmer, Trevon number two in Provo later this year.
Yeah, and Jimmer, as you might expect, tried to play it down a little bit. But he said, look, I did see the comments. I was reminded of them. And he kind of smirked at the question. So you know he's thinking about it. And you know that only gave him extra motivation. I mean, this guy's so good, he's going to have a big game anyway. But that couldn't have helped. I mean, I don't want to sit here and crucify Trey for saying that, although if I was a fan, I would. But, you know, being in the media, it gives us something to talk about and something to hype up. But probably not the smartest thing to do to say that about a guy like Jimmer Fredette.
No, and you know, the thing is that Trey actually did a very good job defensively on Jimmer. It was kind of when they were switching other guys on to him, you know, that they struggled. You know, Derek Jasper hadn't had a lot of experience guarding him. Anthony Marshall hadn't had a lot of experience guarding him. Oscar Belfield gives up some size to him. So, you know, I think the thing for meeting number two that they've really got to figure out, Trey's kind of got to just make sure the other guys are kind of prepared, because, you know, when Trey was covering him, you could tell he was kind of moving along with him and he knew what to expect. And, you know, during that early portion of the game, Jimmer started the game 1 of 7 from the floor and hit 11 of his last 18. So, you know, it was just a matter of him breaking through against UNLV, and he finally did.
Yeah, Jimmer's performance aside, Ryan and Case, here's my big red flag. UNLV's big three, Willis, Jasper, Stanback. Jasper, 0 for 6, 0 points, 27 minutes. Stanback, who's been awful for the last 3 weeks, 7 points, 29 minutes. Willis, an ugly 4 of 16 for 14 points. I don't know if it's as ugly as the 4 of 16 indicates. How do those three guys moving forward, TCU Saturday and then the big game at San Diego State Wednesday, Ryan, how do those three guys kind of get back on track? Because, you know, they've been in a little bit of a downward spiral.
Well, I'm going to just talk about Stanback. You know, I thought Jasper was plenty aggressive offensively. I thought he just couldn't get anything to fall. And you know, Willis, hell, he should be shooting 16 shots a game. He's their, you know, he's their most dogged player. He's got the most killer instinct on the team. And the thing that bothers me from what you just read was the Stanback. It's not the 7 points in 29 minutes. It's the 5 shots. You know, if he scores 7 points going a 3 of 15, you know, oh, well, it's a bad night. He still got his looks. But he's kind of timid with that trigger right now. Guys are getting in his face, and he's not really shooting it over people. He's in a slump, and I really think mentally it's starting to affect him. So, he's got to shoot the ball more. And teams appear to have a book on him and how to defend him. He's got to get better at driving to the bucket and finishing. He's trying. He's just got a little ways to go to maybe be that well-rounded guy that Kruger and the staff want to see him develop into.
Yeah, I would agree. I remember earlier in the year, and he was just lights out. And I think a lot of it is, in anything you do, confidence. If you have success early, you keep it going, you get knocked down a little bit, you start questioning yourself. And I think maybe together as a team, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond and move forward, because, you know, obviously there's going to be some doubt and some question. TCU, I think, is a pretty good opponent to rebound against. On Saturday, TCU opened today by losing to Colorado State, I think, by 12. And
you mean to San Diego State.
By 13. I'm getting all on.
They did not cover.
They did not.
10.5 point underdogs.
No.
Thanks for the update, Case. Case, I love your gambling blog on our site.
16-14 right now.
Yes.
In the Bulls?
In the Bulls.
Impressive.
Yes. Moving forward, I guess, to the TCU game.
Now, wait, really, really quick first. Case, who do you got in the GoDaddy.com Bowl?
That's not the Reno Bowl.
No,
Reno
that's the game tomorrow. Oh. The vaunted Middle Tennessee State.
I haven't made my official pick, but I am leaning Middle Tennessee. Look, the Sun Belt has just really had the max number in games where it looked like the MAC was better. This time it even looks like Middle Tennessee matches up well with Miami. So I think I'm leaning towards the Blue Raiders and Dwight Dasher, a quarterback.
I'm on a New Year's resolution to limit the sports gambling, and I haven't gone yet, but the Boston College Reno game, you got to love BC, right?
No.
No.
My argument,
the boys, public does, but no.
Well, my argument is that Reno season's already over. I mean, they beat Boise. They got the hangover still. All right, we'll see.
I'm leaning Reno to that one. I have actually the opposite New Year's resolution. I'd like to have at least double the volume of last year in the sports book.
Bam! All right.
TCU, let's go. TCU. Listen, my man Hank Thorns, Valley High, comes in. He's dynamic. Can they contain him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really, joking aside, am looking forward to see how they play in this game because – like you said, TCU looks like a good opponent to bounce back on, but, you know, the last few weeks, UNLV hasn't looked really good. I know Green, walking out with him, he said it's been so long since he said UNLV's played a complete game after a game, and really, really just excited to see what they'll do against TCU because they look vulnerable right now.
Yeah, and, you know, TCU, they're going to come in here playing hard because, you know, Hank Thorns obviously is going to love coming back to play in front of the hometown fans for the first time as a collegian. This is a team that, with the exception of last year's meeting, really usually does come in here and play pretty tough. And UNLV, I don't know if you could say plays down to them, but, you know, they don't get as up for this game maybe as a BYU, but they're in a situation where they can't afford to do that. They can't afford to sleepwalk through this because they've got to look good because San Diego State next will feast on a limping team.
One last bowl mention. I also think that TCU's got the revenge factor because I saw Hank Thorne's tweet before the Las Vegas Bowl that he was in town to see Devontae Christopher have a big Las Vegas Bowl. That didn't happen, so this trip to Las Vegas, Hank Thorne's is going to want to make up for that.
Yeah, Jim Christian, his third year at TCU, they're getting ready to go to the Big East, obviously.
Just murdering basketball.
No doubt about it. They are better than they were last year, I think. Potentially.
They've had talent the last couple of years, and I think Christian's a good coach. I just don't understand what the problem is, honestly. I just wonder if he's maybe not getting through the guys that he has because he has talent, and he's a good coach. I mean, he won at Kent State. If you can win at Kent State, you can win anywhere, and I don't know.
It looked like they played real well tonight. I think they were – I saw the score. They were ahead for a lot.
I think they were up 29-27 at the half.
Yeah, so they might have even been ahead at the half, and it was a lot like the UNLV game. San Diego State just
but they were there. They were
and San Diego State pulled away in the second half. So, I mean, I think they are a little bit improved over what I remember from them from last year.
Do we say it's a must-win, boys, for UNLV Saturday?
They're almost. But yes. Okay. I'd say yes. They can't lose that game. You can't be 0-2 going to San Diego State because at that point you're being fed to the Lions.
Yeah, especially sandwiched between, you know, this loss and at San Diego State, I'd say yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys speak, the people listen. I speak, the people laugh. Hank Thorns, let me tell everybody out there, I thought he was one of the best high school athletes I've seen in my 14 years of doing preps. So I'm looking forward to see the return of the Hank Nation.
Forward to seeing what the hell you've been talking about for the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah. So. All right. Well, but Hank, please deliver. Guys, thanks for listening to Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Again, UNLV coming up just a little short. We'll talk to you next time.